Amazing.
I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting to order for Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024, the meeting of the Faculty Senate. Pat, can you verify that we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
All right, thank you. Next up is adoption of the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda or to adopt the agenda? Chrissy, thank you. A second. Thank you, Emily McKee. All in favor of adopting the agenda for today's meeting, please say aye. Opposed? Abstained? That brings us to the approval of the September 4th, 2024 minutes found on pages 4 through 7. Can I have a motion to approve the minutes for September 4th, 2024? Thank you, Adkins. Second, Felicia. Any discussion, edits, comments? Right. Hearing none, all in favor of approving the September 4th, 2024 minutes, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? All right. Minutes are approved. Pat, do we have any requests for public comment?
No requests for public comment.
Awesome. So that brings us to the Faculty Senate presence announcements. Before I get into my announcements, you'll see later in the agenda, we will have a vote that will use our clickers. So if you didn't grab a clicker on your way in, while I'm talking, you can listen and grab a clicker. But I just want to welcome everybody to our second meeting here. And my announcements should be. Can you hear me through this? Can you hear me? Okay. So I just have a few things to talk through today. The first is the main thing is following up from last meeting's announcements. To share that I will be soliciting this week participation of faculty senators in a number of important efforts for this body and campus to engage in over the upcoming year. These topics are going to include reviewing and making recommendations about a few of the outstanding topics that remained after the promotion tenure bylaws were passed last year, and that includes looking at the time in position requirement that we had decided to leave in place and revisit this year, clarifying some language that had emerged as maybe worrisome or troublesome or not clear enough, and other updates that have come in about that. So a group to kind of polish up those promotion and tenure bylaws that were changed last year. The second one is working with our prevention education outreach team as they continue to develop and support training around sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. They've asked this body to help them think through how to better provide that training for students, for faculty, and for staff. Another item for work is development of materials related to how shared governance works at NNU. I know I shared those slides before last session or last meeting, but one of the things I'd like to do is develop orientation type materials to new faculty senators, but also a website for campus to understand shared governance here on our campus and how it operates, what the bodies are and what the processes look like to try to make that more visible to campus. The fourth thing is bringing together some faculty senators to think about service and leadership, how it is measured and engaged with at NIU. Including picking up and maybe building off of some of the work that we've heard in the past from Greg Beyer related to those constellations where we find pathways of service and pathways of leadership to help folks understand service opportunities on campus and how to think about equity within service. And the final one we'll touch on later after Provost Elish Piper talks about the AI task force. But generally, I appreciate everybody's service on this body and coming here on Wednesdays, as well as those who serve on the standing committees. But there is, and I hope that folks will be willing to engage with some of these projects that will help move our campus forward by looking at the academic core of our institution, how we can improve it as the Faculty Senate. So those are my announcements for today. Next up on the agenda are Provost announcements. So I invite up Provost Elish Piper.
Okay, I think we're working now. Good afternoon. I do have a few announcements for you. A couple of them will require audiovisual support, so Why don't you do the website first? I just want to draw everyone's attention to the website that was put together, and it was announced very early in the semester, but I'm not sure everyone had a chance to see it. And it focuses on freedom of expression and academic freedom. And what it does is it brings together our previously existing policies all in one place, as well as relevant resources. And so just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of this as the semester heats up and the world heats up around us. Just a reminder that we do have those policies and resources related to both freedom of expression and academic freedom. The next thing that I'll share does not require audiovisual support, so I'll give Pat a moment. I just want to let you know that the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning has launched a teaching mentors program, and I think some of you in this room might be part of that. So I just wanted to make sure that you were aware that about 20 award-winning faculty and instructors who have received awards for their teaching agreed to serve as mentors with a primary focus on our new faculty, but also they are available to consult with others who would like to touch base regarding different aspects of teaching. And so we're excited about that initiative and think that it'll provide an additional support for setting up our new faculty for success in the classroom and ultimately supporting our students' success. The Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning is also launching Open Classroom Weeks. This is an opportunity to sign up to visit people's classrooms to see different types of pedagogies and technologies and classroom types of activities in action. And if you go to the website for the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning, you can get more information. It'll be the weeks of October 14th through the 25th. And they've got a wide array of different kinds of classrooms that have been opened up. Some of you in here may have opened up your classrooms, but we have everything from general education classes to STEM classes, to seminar classes, to large lecture classes, just a wide array to have an opportunity to visit other people's classrooms, learn about what they do, and then ultimately hopefully support one another in high quality teaching. I also want to let you know that tomorrow there is a workshop on promotion and tenure for pre-tenure faculty, basically just helping them understand the broad process that's put together by Barbara Gonzalez, our Vice Provost for Faculty Affairs, and Janice Hamlet, the Associate Vice Provost for Faculty Mentoring and Diversity. It is scheduled for tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 to 4:30, in the Holmes Student Center Heritage Room. So if you have any pre-tenure faculty that you're working with or that you know that might be, you know, nervous about how does promotion and tenure work, that workshop would be a good opportunity for them to get some more information and also get some of their questions answered. The last announcement that I have relates to the Task Force for Academic Affairs for AI. Last spring, we put together an action team to identify some quick recommendations that we should respond to related to AI. And the first one was to put together a task force. And that task force is being formed as we speak. And so the task force has the charge listed up there. I'll let you read that yourself. I'm not going to read it for you. But it's basically going to focus around a structure where we'll have an advisory group and then three working groups. I want to talk a little bit about those three working groups. So next slide, please. So there we go with the advisory group and the working groups. And we'll go to the next slide. Thank you. These are the three working groups. And so the first one, ethical guidelines and evaluation, you can see who the co-chairs are. We have a balance of faculty and other leaders on campus who have expertise related to the working group. And we're currently forming the members of these groups. And so the first one on ethical guidelines and evaluation, the second one, academic support services, and then the third one, teaching and learning. And so as Ben mentioned, we are looking for representatives from Faculty Senate to serve on each of those working groups to bring forth different perspectives and different ideas. The co-chairs have all agreed to serve in that capacity, and so they are beginning to get things organized to reach out and invite people to join those working groups. And so in collaboration with Faculty Senate, we would definitely want to have representation just to bring that together and make sure there's communication back and forth between the two. We've set up a timeline where the groups will be working with some deliverables by the end of this semester, others by next March and next May. So trying to move somewhat quickly, knowing that artificial intelligence is rapidly expanding and changing and growing. And so we want to make sure that we're moving as efficiently as we can. I do want to mention that one of the recommendations of the action team was to also consider a plan for looking at research in AI. And so on the advisory committee, Richard McCarsky, our new vice president for research and innovation partnerships, is going to serve in that capacity and then ultimately can make a decision on whether we add a working group, a different structure might be used to look at opportunities related to research. But I did want to let you know that we are making that connection at this point, because when we think about the work that goes on in academic affairs, it deals with, of course, you know, teaching as well as scholarship and artistry, and then the services for our students. And so we're trying to come up with a plan that allows us to address all of those within the task force structure. So if you're interested in that area and you have expertise in that area or know others, please work with Ben so that we can get those names sent to the co-chairs and we can get those folks connected and get those groups meeting. So any questions or?
No questions, but just a thank you for, you know, the collaboration conversation leading up to this. And there will be part of that email that goes out with opportunities to get engaged with the work to work on this area. So if you do have that interest, please look for that form that should be coming out tomorrow or Friday and nominate yourself or a colleague like Provost Ellis Piper mentioned.
So great. Thank you.
All right. That brings us to item 8, items for Faculty Senate consideration. The first presentation that's listed there will not be presented today. We've been asked to postpone that presentation as Tony Tellerud was not able to make it today. So that will bring us up to item B, which is a presentation, RIPS Mission, Vision, Values, and Strategic Goals for the Future, by our Vice President for RIPS, Richard McCarsky.
Thanks for having me.
Yep.
Get off that page. I'm Richard McCarsky. I'm the new Vice President for RIPS. I'm really excited to be here, excited to talk with you. Wanted to let you know where our team is as we change to a little bit to a model of a more faculty focused model of RIPS, transparent model, where our goal is to meet the faculty where you all are to provide services and support in research and innovation. So we did an exercise this summer with the leadership team to define our mission, vision, values, which hadn't been updated in quite a bit of time. And so just spending a little bit of time today to talk about that. And so we'll start with the values. And what we decided as a team was that our goals, our values are to be nurturing, resourceful, ethical, partners, accessible, joyous, and agents of change. And again, this should all resonate as our job is to be high touch folks. We want to be the person you come to when you have issues. And when you don't have issues, we want you to be with us too, so we can help partner with you to find the resources necessary to support the research and artistry that you all do. And then with that, we came to our vision. And our vision for RIPS is one, again, that's of support to grow the research and creative enterprise to empower world-transforming discovery, paradigm-shifting expression, and life-changing student opportunities. So I should zoom out for just a second. The reason I'm here, the reason I'm at NIU, is because it's a unique institution. There are a lot of higher ed institutions across the country. NIU is one of the few that combines world-class research and artistry and student access. So I won't name names, but there are institutions out there that do the first, and they do it really well. But unless you're a doctoral student, unless you're a postdoc or a very fortunate undergraduate, you're not having access to those faculty. And then there are institutions where you have great access to faculty, but maybe they're not on the cutting edge. They're not doing that world-changing institution. The Venn diagram of institutions that do those well is small, and we should be proud to be one of those. And so RIPS, to me, is here to help to continue that tradition that you all are already doing and to support that. And that's where our vision comes from. And that drives our mission, right? And so our mission here is, you know, I'm so clever with the animations, I forget that they take time, sorry. Our mission is to create the ecosystem for a thriving and growing research and creative enterprise. And so what you'll see in the coming year is some changes to our structure. So we're a flat, we were a flat structure, and we're moving to one where we're not as flat, so not everybody reports to me, and we're a little bit more nimble, but we're definitely more responsive. So we have two AVPs. One AVP is responsible for research services. That's Dara Little. So that's sponsored programs. That's our Mac lab. That's our research methodological services, and that's compliance. So that's a change that's coming. The other AVP, Barry Bowden, right now is in charge of research enhancement. So that's research development. That's TRISE. That's the Office of Innovation. And so this helps drive our strategic goals for the year. And we have five strategic goals for the years, and I'm gonna go over them just very briefly. So we're gonna grow research, artistry, and innovation. And when I say grow, it's not just money, we're talking about impact. Again, we want you to be able to do your work and do it well. We're gonna expand and develop partnerships, both internal and external. Again, we're here to partner with you. We're gonna nurture an entrepreneurial mindset, and that's not just innovation, that's in everything we do. We want to help partner with you to find different ways to do things so we can expand our impact. We're going to improve our own operational effectiveness. We know there are some pinch points. I know there are some pinch points. My team does. We're going to find ways to improve those. And we're going to increase our brand awareness. That story that I just told before, the world needs to know. That's a recruitment story. If you're a 17-year-old student, maybe you don't care so much about being able to have access to faculty, but your parents do, because they know how that important it is for matriculation and future success. So to do that, we have initiatives within some cross-functional teams that we've launched within our division. So for Grow Research and Artistry, we're working on finding out how we can help you find funding. What are ways that we can do this efficiently without investing hundreds of thousands of dollars in software or new people? How can we do this efficiently and effectively to get faculty the information they need and opportunities? For developing and expanding partnerships, one of the cross-functional teams we're gonna do is research capabilities team. Again, how do we advertise what people are doing? How do we bring people together around themes? Like AI is a great example. How do we make sure there's opportunities that faculty can talk to each other, can talk to industry, can talk to agencies? So we're working on that. We're also working on celebrating our successes. That's both internal to our team and external. It's important that we stop and reflect on the amazing work that's happening. And this is just a snapshot, by the way. I'm trying to keep it short. To nurture the entrepreneurial mindset, we're developing an innovation ecosystem map. What's already happening? What's happening in the College of Business? What's happening in the other colleges? What supports are available, and how can we make sure we're ushering people to the right places so that they have what they need at that time? If that somebody's ready for a startup, where do they go? If somebody's ready to just partner with industry on a research project, how do they do that? What supports are the university? How do they get connected with the folks in advancement who do corporate and foundation relations? Improving operational effectiveness. This is really in-house. We have a policy working group, and we also have a standard operating procedures working groups. The only thing I can say there is it should make your lives easier, because we're trying to fix some of those pinch points. Again, some of that pre-award stuff that gets in the way, some of the post-award transaction stuff. How do we make sure we have all the information for you all, so you're not searching for it, so you're not running in circles? And finally, for increasing brand awareness, working on our marketing. So we've hired a marketing intern. We're going to be putting out stories about faculty. We're going to be communicating with faculty about what we do. We're also, I mentioned we're doing the website as well. So this is a very quick and dirty presentation, but I wanted to give you an idea of where we're going. We've already made a lot of progress in working to set up the conditions for success. We know we have a lot of work to do, and frankly, it's gonna involve partnership. Some of the things that we're doing that are already out that I wanna make you aware of, you know, Ben and the executive committee helped us with the faculty needs assessment that went out. We've already gotten a lot of results on those and seen some of the issues that faculty have with their creative and research agenda is time, understanding what funding opportunities, collaboration. We're going to continue to push that out. Every Tuesday If you want to have lunch with me, Brown Bag Lunch at 71 North, that's an opportunity to meet with faculty to have a informal conversation about their work or any problems that they're having with RIPS or any successes they want to celebrate. On the 24th from 9 to 11, we have our leadership open house again in 71 North. The whole RIPS leadership team will be there. Again, just opportunities and touch points to meet with folks. So with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Not seeing anybody coming up to the mic, but I just want to say I've appreciated the conversations, the candors, and the perspective and vision you're bringing to the office. I do think through starting with learning from faculty and opening up to faculty, I think there's a great opportunity for us to meet the goals that you have set for yourself. So thank you.
Thanks.
Right, that brings us to the consent agenda, item 9. This is approving the following faculty representative substitutions to serve on this academic year's Libraries Advisory Committee. From HHS, we have Jennifer Gray for Arlene Ketty. For LANS, we have Shengde Zhu for Pallavi Singh. For VPA, we have Jeremy Floyd for Mark Makaranis. For this, we just need a first, a second, and then a vote. So if we can have a motion to approve the representative substitutions. Thank you, Therese. Second, Valentiner. All in favor of approving the consent agenda, please say aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? All right, thank you. That brings us to unfinished business. The first item up is the proposed amendment to Faculty Senate Bylaws 3.1.1, the composition of the steering committee. You can see that on page 8. Again, this is a second reading and a vote. So what we'll do is I will we'll take a motion, have a second, and then in discussion, Pat will lead us through the process for the vote, and then we'll open it up for discussion from the group. So if I could have a motion to approve the proposed amendment to Faculty Senate Bylaws 3.1.1. Thank you, Kurt. A second. Thank you. All right, and then for discussion, and while Pat pulls that up, I should probably read the proposal summary, which is on page 8. Again, this is just a proposal that's intended to ensure Faculty Senate Steering Committee has sufficient representation from all constituencies without placing an unnecessary and unfair burden on those particular faculty senators who also are taking on leadership roles in various standing committees of the Faculty Senate. It allows those Faculty Senate Standing Committee chairs to ask for and receive a seat on the steering committee if they choose, but it also allows them not to have to serve in that way. And so before we get into discussion on this, I'll turn over to Pat to, actually, we should probably have a discussion first. Are there any comments or discussion about this proposed amendment? Hearing none. Now I'll turn it over to Pat.
So it's been a while since we used our clickers to vote. And so you'll hopefully remember, or if you're new, you are going to remember that if you see your name on this list of voting members, or if you're here for someone whose name is on that list, then you should have a clicker and they're in the back. And now's the time to get up and go get one. And when the time comes to vote, once I open the poll, one equals yes, you agree with the motion to approve the amendment. Two is no, you don't agree. And three is abstain. We need 2/3 of those voting to vote yes. So I'm just gonna call this up to remind everybody. So if you vote 3 abstain, it means you're present, but you're choosing not to vote. So we need 2/3 of those who are voting to vote yes in order to pass the amendment. Okay, so now I'm going to get rid of this. Open the poll. One is yes, 2 is no. 3 is abstain, meaning you're here, but you're not voting. And if anybody's having trouble with their clicker, just raise your hand and we'll help you with that.
It might be easier if you're having trouble just to grab a different clicker, right? Would that be easiest?
What's that?
Scott's having, does that work or? Probably shouldn't have done.
You should get a smiley face or a check mark when you click the number. So we can see that 50 people have voted, maybe another couple seconds here, a few seconds. Anybody need more time? Okay, all right, we're gonna close the poll. So we can see that that clearly passes by 2/3 of those who are voting.
All right. Thank you for being here and for voting so we can move that forward. Next up is new business, item 11. This is a proposed amendment to Faculty Senate bylaws 4.4.3.2 and 4.5.3.3, which are related to the duties of the Graduate Council and duties of the Baccalaureate Council. If I could have a motion to approve the proposed amendment. Thank you, George. And a second?
Oh, wait a minute, you know what?
You're right. No need to vote on this. I just need to read it. Sorry, my fault. Thank you for the motion, but that's my fault. So you can find the proposed amendment on page 9. The proposal is to add language that codifies current precedent and current practice that the Graduate Council and the Baccalaureate Council have the duty and responsibilities to set standards and policies related to withdrawal, and that the Graduate Council has the authority to set reentry policies and standards for graduate students. This has always been the way those bodies have operated as far back as we're looking at these documents. This is in alignment with the duties and responsibilities that they currently function as listed. This is just to clean up that language and make sure that those are on the books. Is there any discussion or comments about this? Well, that's right. Next time will be a second reading, and that's when we'll have a vote on that proposed amendment. If there's anything that comes up in the meantime, please don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. This brings us to our reports from our councils, boards, and standing committees. First up is Tiffany Puckett with a report from the Faculty Advisory Council to IBHE.
Good afternoon. I hope everyone is well. I do have a few things that I want to bring out from our first meeting. Our first meeting of the academic year was September 20th, and it was hosted by University of Illinois at Chicago. The meeting started out with a nice welcome from their provost, who brought up the fact that they were having some of the similar issues that we had with enrollment with freshmen. Their freshman enrollment was down as well, and they did have an increase in transfer students as we did, and everyone's assuming it was because of the FAFSA stuff. We also had a report that was provided by the Associate Director of Academic Affairs to IBHE, Jill Geske, and she talked about how the FAFSA application has been pushed back to December 1st this year, that IBHE is creating, has a AI task force, and they will be creating a report. So when that report comes out, I'll make sure that it makes it to NIU. That their next board meeting is going to be on November the 13th at Land Lake College, and that no agenda had been put out for that meeting at this point. During our caucus meetings, the Public Universities Caucus had conversation around the importance of librarians at university. So that was a very interesting conversation. Some interesting stuff coming out of the working groups. The equity working group is creating a teaching tool around having teaching equity in classrooms and is reaching out to the chief diversity officers at all universities to come up with a compilation of these tools, and all these tools will be put on a website so that all faculty around the state of Illinois will have access to those tools. Mental Health Group is working on a survey that will be sent out to faculty across Illinois about the mental health of Illinois faculty. And then the last interesting thing that we talked about was from the FAC legislative liaison, who had some brief discussion about Senate Bill 3965. That is a higher ed funding act. It's titled Adequate and Equitable Public University Funding Act. There is a lot of conversation going on around this proposed legislation. There is a House bill that's going to be coming out that is probably going to be similar to it, that is sponsored by State Representative Carol Amos. And there, if for those of you who are really interested, they've been really seeking people to like look at the bill, to give feedback, and just have some discussion around it. And so the Coalition of Transforming Higher Ed Funding has been holding meetings around the bill. There is a meeting at University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana on October 8th, but there's a meeting at Northern. So the meeting at Northern is going to be October 24th at 2 p.m. If you're interested in taking part in this conversation, you can go to the Coalition for Transforming Higher Education Funding website and register for that meeting. If you don't want to do that and you want to just shoot me an email, I'll send you the link for it. If you don't want to look the bill up and you want a copy of the bill, you can also shoot me an email and I will forward you a copy of the bill. Our next meeting is going to take place on October 18th, and it will be hosted by Roosevelt University. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
No questions. I have a flyer I'll be sharing as well on that visit to campus on the 24th. So that'll be part of the summary. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to Report B, University Advisory Committee to the Board of Trustees. There was the most recent meeting that we received updates on the efforts of the NIU Foundation and the successes that they've had over the past fiscal year and at the beginning of this fiscal year. They've reached and surpassed their goals and milestones in a way that are the levels of funding that have come through the foundation are higher than we've had before. So that's great news from our alumni and our donors. We also heard a presentation. The Board of Trustees has asked for more student-centric presentations to be heard, and that's part of their commitment to student success. So the Board of Trustees heard from Andrea Radisanu and two alumni about their experiences in the Congressional Summer Internship Program. And I think that really spoke volumes to the quality of our students, that we are oversubscribed. There's too many students that want to participate than the seats that we have. So we're able to send really high quality and sought after interns to Washington, D.C. to work over the summer and get that valuable experience. So there's a great presentation from the three of them about that program, that work. There is a Board of Trustees special meeting on October 9th. So if you have any interest in tuning into that, the link will be made available, I believe, next week. So that is it, unless there's anything else. All right. Next up is a report from University Council, so you get to keep listening to me. We heard the main point of action worth reporting to this body is the University Council received recommendations from a working group that had engaged in the topic of how to bring shared governance back into budget, resource, and space conversations. In the past, we had a committee that sat between University Council and Faculty Senate called Resource, Space, and Budget. That was sunset with the reorganization of shared governance back in 2020. The duties of that body were to be subsumed and taken up by University Council. That was part of the deliberation and conversation. However, that hasn't The University Council is more of a formal body and formal setting than what RSB used to be. And so one of the um, one of the efforts that we've engaged in over the summer was establishing a working group. How do we reestablish that place to be, to have faculty, staff, and students more proactively engaged in those conversations, in an advisory role, as an information sharing role, and in a strategic partner. Two recommendations came out of that working group. One was to senior administration to create a budget advisory group led by Provost Elish Piper and CFO Middlemist that was in alignment with a budgeting calendar that engaged campus in proactive and intentional ways. It was a recommendation that was accepted, and they're working on that effort. The second recommendation was to create a subcommittee or a committee of university council to engage directly with resource and space and budget and other operations types conversations. So this year there will be an ad hoc group pulled together to serve in that function. And then by the end of this academic year, the goal and the charge for that committee is to bring forward bylaw amendments, NIU bylaw amendments, to create that standing body and to create calendars and to create a rhythm for those meetings to make sure that they're intentional and follow up on the conversations that are going on campus. If there's any questions about that, please let me know here or otherwise, but that is a group and an effort that's going on to once again bring back that resource space and budget type of conversation in a proactive manner. All right, and then I believe there's no report from the Baccalaureate Council today. That brings us to report E, the Faculty Rights and Responsibilities Committee. And Teresa Rado will share a brief report.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. This is actually a looking forward report, not a report of what we've done. But the Faculty Rights and Responsibility Committee this year is undertaking a project to look at academic freedom at NIU, what it means, and ways to further enhance NIU's commitment to academic freedom. The committee is going to look at current NIU materials as well as resources at other institutions and their approach to academic freedom. And we already heard from Provost Elish Piper earlier about the website. So if you want more information on what is available currently through the NIU website, I know Ben will send this link out tomorrow or Friday when we get the update from this meeting, which is a wonderful thing. Thank you. Take a look at that and see what's there. But no, going forward, you'll get more information from Faculty Rights and Responsibilities on NIU's view of academic freedom, our approach, and how we can enhance our commitment to it. Any questions from that looking forward report? I don't know what I can answer, but thanks.
Looks like Emily's got a question.
So I imagine that a lot of this is going to be focused on sort of freedom of speech and freedom of expression for faculty. Is it also going to be dealing with facilitating in the classroom freedom of expression for students?
Absolutely. I mean, this is because academic freedom and freedom of expression are two very different things. But it will approach it from the faculty, staff, employee, student view. Yes, our view is faculty because we're faculty senate, but it is impossible to discuss one without discussing and impacting others.
And are you also looking for any participation, or do you already have avenues for getting participation from students and folks outside the faculty center?
I haven't thought that far, but Ben might certainly have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think after the first meeting, there'll probably be opportunities to find ways to bring in the voices, the perspectives, the information that's necessary. If that's what you're thinking about, like avenues to get information to Faculty Rights and Responsibilities. And it is an open meeting, so it'll be public notice. Folks are welcome to submit public comments and sit in on those conversations as well.
Thank you.
So thanks.
Anybody else before I walk away again? All right.
Thank you so much for taking on that role. So thank you. All right. There's no report from Social Justice Committee and no report from Faculty Senate UC Rules, Governance, and Elections Committee. Do we have a report from SGA? Think so. No, Manny's saying no. All right. Thank you, Manny. Do we have a report from Operating Staff Council? Looks like no. Yeah. Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
So it's not very much, but one of the big things from Natasha this year, I guess, is she's going to be putting out a survey to really help us focus our efforts in a direction that makes sense for the staff. And so I think that there's going to be a lot more of last year's very quiet. So this year, I think it's going to be a lot more focused on what we can do to help improve the situations for staff.
Thank you. All right, any questions? All right, thank you. Next up is a report from Supportive Professional Staff Council.
So we had our first meeting of the academic year. I was reelected as president in June. And then at our last meeting, we elected our vice president, who is Tom O'Grady, our secretary, Deborah Gitney, and Kelly Marshall as our treasurer. And we also, we finished up last year, basically in terms of development of a survey so that we had a better sense of our needs of SPSS staff. And we'll be sending that out actually in the next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Felicia.
Any questions?
All right, that brings us to informational items. Items A through O are the policy library and minutes from various committees and councils. You'll notice item P has our next faculty senate meeting, which is October 30th. And then we have three other informational items. Richard already talked about the faculty meet and greet with RIP's leadership on Thursday, October 24th. Then we have two related items. Item R is the Real Talk Conference. That's Opening Pathways to Embrace Our Humanity, which is Friday, October 25th, 8:30. If you participated last year, I'm sure you can share great stories about the impactful conversations and topics that were discussed in that. And this, I've been on the planning committee, and there's great keynote speakers, great presentations, great opportunities to engage with that conference and that topic. There is a pre-conference, which is item S, Designing Engagement for Equity. This is part of the Fall Engagement Executive in Residence program. It's a workshop that starts at 8:30 in the morning on October 24th. There's a morning session that you can be a part of, or you can be part of the full day session. And it's the morning is about design or human design, human-centered design, and how it applies to engagement, community engagement, engaged work, and designing for equity. The afternoon is like an applied hands-on workshop. In order to be a part of that, you would be asked to participate in the morning and then the afternoon. And to make that afternoon useful, we're encouraging folks who are working on projects in their departments or academic units that might benefit from a hands-on workshop to come as a group. I'm bringing my department. We're gonna show up and look at our EDD program. How can we use these principles to improve what we do for our students? I'll send materials on all three of these. And that brings us to item 13, which is adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting for today? Thank you, Beth. Second. Got it. All right. All in favor of adjourning the meeting? Aye. All right. Thank you all.